called historic legislation to add the four words sexual orientation and gender identity to state code is now law in Utah. It has made contending political interests feel good, but alone it solves little in the ongoing legal and culture wars between sexual rights and religious freedom. When the bill sponsor, State Senator Steve Urquhart, claimed that SB 296 proves that these issues are not mutually exclusive, his euphoric self-aggrandizement is speaking, not political reality. As Indiana is crucified for passing a state Religious Freedom Restoration Act, passed by 20 other states and in bipartisan form in 1993 by Congress, at least one very vocal supporter of SB 296 has sanctimoniously invited businesses in Indiana to relocate to Utah, where he implies gays and lesbians are protected in public accommodations. The problem is that SB 296 avoids all mention of public accommodations. In fact, gay activists have promised that the 2016 legislative session will see a bill extending public accommodation protections in the state non-discrimination law. As with the actual absence of discrimination in employment and housing, Utah does not suffer from a problem of discrimination in public accommodations. It doesn't exist. So why didn't negotiating parties include public accommodations in SB 296? The answer is to avoid the rancorous debate over rights of individual conscience. There's little to no debate over a small business owner in Utah denying service to any paying customer. Who in their right mind would do that? The debate over rights of individual conscience becomes heated when gay activists insist that a small business owner not only serve every paying customer, but celebrate the paying customer. This insistence by gay activists is at the core of legal and cultural contentions to come. When the cake maker refused to make a cake for a same-sex wedding, he wasn't denying a paying customer. He was refusing to participate in the same-sex wedding celebration. When the Salt Lake City cop refused to participate in a gay pride parade, he wasn't refusing to protect and serve gays and lesbians. He was refusing to participate in a manner he interpreted as celebrating gay rights. When the florist refused to provide flowers for a same-sex wedding, she had happily served those same customers for years. She simply drew the line at celebrating a same-sex wedding. Passage of SB 296 is historic like Fort Sumter, not historic like Appomattox. Yes, its bill signing felt like relief to many weary warriors tired of the contention. Yes, it placed historical political opponents in the same room. Yes, one opponent said polite things about the other opponent. And both sides projected a humility based in a sense of mutual surrender. But SB 296 is only the opening shot in a legal war to come. As confident as the bill sponsor needed to sound about particular impacts and consequences, no serious legal mind or policy scholar believe his words settle any details. In fact, if the public would like to take Senator Urquhart's words for anything, they can be assured he meant what he said about dealing with other issues down the road. The common ground created by SB 286 is future litigation, increased cultural tension, and legislative turmoil. With the help of local ecclesiastical wisdom, Utah averted what Indiana now suffers, but the aversion is momentary. Rights of individual conscience need to be addressed in the face of sexual politics that disallows contrary opinions. The coming public accommodations debate will force the issue. I'm Paul Miro. Thanks for listening.